Hello, and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take a recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the third album from Irish six-piece Silverbacks called Easy Being a Winner, and it starts with a song called Selling Shovels. So we first became aware of Silverbacks when we saw them perform at South by Southwest in 2023. And if you listen to our Best of South by Roundups, that was one of the bands we picked. I always forget what their name is because to me, Silverbacks invokes an idea of a very like macho kind of new metal sound. And this is not their sound at all.
Yeah, I think at their most aggressive, they are post-punk, which we are getting here with lots of kind of strange, weird sounds mixed in. So it's mostly just guitar rock, but the song opens with these harmonics that feel very art before suddenly dropping into this groove that carries us through most of the song. But then we also get those great hoo-ha! Yeah. And
the tambourine.
Yeah, lots of varied percussion throughout the record, but we get off to an early start. And then later on, the song ends in like about a minute and a half of just kind of weird guitar noise and weird synth pings that are very menacing. So it's really fun. And there is menace, but it's not a metal kind of menace. It's a playful menace.
Yeah. And I think you read this as a commentary on capitalism, which I think is a good way to read it. As in, you know, everybody's eating dessert and just, you know, enjoying their momentary pleasures. And we're just selling shovels for everybody to dig themselves deeper.
Yeah, that's right. I guess I'm not saying that. But no, I mean, it's one of those things but I love a song where it's like, yeah, it's about late stage capitalism, but I can't tell you exactly how it is. It just kind of is. And it's this mood and just feeling of, yeah, we're doing our best, but this all feels kind of doomed.
All of the songs on this record are very different from each other. And you'll see that when we play the next track, which is called Giving Away an Inch Of.
Thank you. lineup of this band, they're a six piece. I think when we saw them, they were a five piece. And one of the changes was that Emma Hanlon, who we hear on vocals, was previously bassist and keyboardist and vocalist. And they've added a new bassist, Paul Leamy, who is taking some of the weight off of Emma Hanlon so she can do more lead vocals. And the result is this phenomenal track, which is simultaneously so poppy and fun, this weird sunny 70s throwback, and also has this insanely complicated beat on those verses that I was convinced, oh, there's some weird time signature. This is 5-4 with occasional dropped beats or something. I'm like, nope, it's just 4-4 with a really complicated syncopation that somehow everyone on the band is able to just roll with. Mm-hmm. And so I love the playfulness of this track, accentuated with coming out of the chorus. We hear one of the frontmen, Killian O'Kelly, and we'll get to that, singing out Red Hot Pokers, which sounds both simultaneously menacing, but also it's a pretty flower. And so it's a very sweet and weird and, yeah, it's a delightful song.
Well, and also I think the kind of weird guitar line with the twangy, like, mm-hmm. meow, that moves around a lot, I think that also makes it feel just a little bit off kilter.
Yes,
like, fair. There's a version of this song that could be pretty basic, but they've added enough flourishes and enough complexity that it makes it much more interesting.
Yeah, and this lineup that they can do a lot of guitar stuff, they actually have three guitarists, so it's a little bit of a family affair with Daniel O'Kelly and Killian O'Kelly.
Who are brothers.
They're brothers and both play guitar. I think Dan O'Kelly is lead vocals and rhythm guitar. And then Killian is doing backing vocals and lead guitar. And then they have another lead guitarist, Petr Kini. I hope I'm getting that name kind of correct.
Peter.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Italian names. It's P.
Italian by Italian, you mean Irish.
Irish, one of those, Irish, Italian. No, it's one of those I countries. Anyway, the
Killian O'Kelly, a famously Italian name.
Yes. No, the Irish name, P A D A R. Anyway, so they've got a lot of guitar going on. And then Killian O'Kelly and Emma Hanlon are married. And the Red Hot Pokers are a flower that they grow in their beautiful flower garden in their little house in a small town north of Dublin. It's all very sweet. And I love that a sweet band. And let's also just say, did I miss any? No, I think I didn't miss any of the band members at this point. So
I don't think you talked about, did you talk about Gary Wickham on drums?
I thought I mentioned because the drums are amazing.
Maybe
on this.
I just wasn't listening 100%.
Yeah, well, it's a hell of a rhythm section, a hell of an everything on this. And, you know, a credit to a band where they apparently are pretty happy and the music can be about happiness, but it's not complacent happiness. It's this delightful, deranged happiness.
Yeah, I mean, it's a song that's all about sort of someone compromising less than the other person in a relationship. And yeah. I mean, I think that, but, you know, I think it's good that, like, they have that, because one of my pet peeves is bands that have a married couple in it, because often that just makes them more boring, and there's not the critical ear to, like, say, like, no, that's terrible, we're not doing that song. And so I think maybe they're balanced out by the rest of the band, that they're together, but, like, they pull it off.
Yeah. And so we have this sweetness here, and we go into another, I think, relatively sweet song for the next track we'll play. It's called Look at All You've Done.
Better off with this one.
So it used to be that Daniel wrote most of the songs for the band, but on this album, Killian wrote six of the tracks, including this one. And I feel like they've put these three songs in a row right at the front, and each of them has a very different flavor. I love the upbeat, like, idea behind this song about, you know, enjoying your accomplishments, and also the weird spaghetti Western guitar, and the way the two guitars interplay with each other is just really nice.
Yeah, I really enjoy this playful guitar riff. And then I feel like the vocals weren't noticeably processed beyond maybe a little bit of an echo effect on the Red Hot Pokers. And yet here we're getting this extreme warble on Emma Hansen's effect. On her voices, rather. And so it's gives it this more, again, slightly unhinged feel for what's otherwise could be a very straightforward, sweet sentiment. Instead, it's kind of a little bit, you know, I think it could be very positive, and yet it's weird because there's a little, you know, some of these lyrics are like looking and trying to look back on what you've done and find something positive. Cause like we get a verse that's about like, oh, I'm looking up my trophies and look at all these things I did. And then another verse that's about like, I don't know, I'm lying on the couch trying to think of things that I've done that are actually good. And in each case, then she comes in like, look at all you've done. And it's like, oh, is it such a positive thing? Or is it a little bit of like, I don't know. And so that ambiguity, I appreciate that. I think it is sweet. And yet there is still that doubt. And this is not, again, all of the write-ups about this band, about this album, like, oh, they all like figure stuff out and they're living these great lives, and yet the music has this sense of uncertainty to it.
I mean, I took it as like I was having a conversation with my friend Adrian yesterday about how we tend to discount the things that we're really naturally good at because they come so easy to us, so we assume they come easy to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's like, hey, remind yourself that like what you're really good at is really special.
Yeah, the positive spin is a better one. Thank you. But no, it has this beauty to it. And yeah, I just want to call out that. So this is their third LP, and I think they've been much more in the kind of post-punk, slightly more aggro sound, let's say, on the earlier records. So I love how much sweetness is being introduced into the mix here with the different songwriting and more vocals from Emma Hanlon. And they're working again with the same producer, though, Daniel Fox. And I feel like it's really cleanly produced.
Yeah.
And then here we're just starting to see this little bit of vocal effect. But then on the next song we'll play, things go pretty crazy. And I'm glad that this album contains yet this level of different production and a lot of production in the best possible way. It's called Something I Know. So delighted that this album, where coming out of the seeing them live, and it was so much about this kind of masculine swagger with a little bit of a woman but doing backing vocals, and that the songs that are really standing out to me are these stylistically different, not really swaggering, female forward songs that are, you know, both throwing back to various influences. I mean, they are very upfront about like, yeah, we love Stereolab and we wanted to do a Stereolab like song, mission accomplished. But then with this crazy clarinet drone that feels very out of place and yet anchors everything and gives it this real sense of spaciness that it was already pretty spacey, and somehow adding a clarinet made it more so.
Yeah, and so that's Daniel and Killian's dad, John, who plays the clarinet. And apparently they had him, he learned and practiced a lot more clarinet for this song. And then they decided they only wanted it to come in these certain parts because it would cause more, you know, it would be more emphatic and it would highlight the clarinet more. And so he a bunch of his parts got dropped. But I think it does really add a lot that it's, and also that it's like, someone really playing the clarinet, not a synth.
Yeah, it gives it a real earthiness to it. And it's a song that honestly, because of the way it's produced, the lyrics are super washed out. There's little bits of like, I turn to you. And there's bits of like, oh, I stick with my faith. And so they've talked about, oh, this is someone finding the challenge of, I'm torn between loving a person and loving God. And that I turn to you is ambiguous. Am I mm-hmm. turning to you, the human, or am I turning you to you, the deity? It's up to us to interpret. And so delightful ambiguity.
And you said you like the songs with her voice on them. That's my only complaint about the production, is I feel like maybe they were going for a Stereolab vibe with the female vocals washed out a little bit, but I think she doesn't have a very powerful voice. And I think it does kind of fall back into the mix a little bit more than I would like.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, a production issue. I don't know. I like how much this song kind of washes over you. Mm-hmm. And really the standouts are the rhythm section where it starts with this, the bass and the drums. And really this is a chance to get the bass without any guitars around, really just getting that groove. Wow. Solid work. And then having talked out of all this organic instruments and how the clarinet gives it this earthiness, then the final like almost 2 minutes of the song is this crazy like grinding industrial noise that would not be out of place on like an early Nine Inch Nails record or something. And yet it totally works and sets you up for then the spoken word section at the end, which is just, again, their father doing a sermon.
Well, yeah, he said that they said that he's reading a poem that one of them wrote called The Desert's Door. And he said, my wife's father passed away in 2022. He was from Algeria and spent a lot of his time at a place the locals call the door to the Sahara. My father and her father never got to meet, unfortunately. So I like that we managed to connect them in some way.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And yeah, it's sweet and uncertain and uneasy and propulsive and ethereal. It's just such a great combination of stuff. And it's yet another song that sounds completely unlike everything else on the record. And we go back to, after these series of more kind of ethereal woman fronted songs, we go back to some more male vocals forward on the next track. It's called Spinning Jenny.
That same old Spinning Jenny, she won't just mellow out. She'll keep on running all night. She'll twist, she'll jump and shout. That same old Spinning Jenny, she crashes out on the roof. She'll make a fool out of me, and she'll make a fool out of you. That same old gone off Jenny, stiff like an ice cube, wear down in the heat and melt into the Danube. That same old Jenny Betty, like a boiled egg on the pot, a whistle from the stove, a yelp, it's got too hot. That same old shit on the telly, with war on the horizon, her eyes will fix me, I could tell she had been crying. That same old Spinning Jenny, you know she'll never stop. That same old Spinning Jenny, she's the one I want. She's the one I
knew what a Spinning Jenny was, and I was like scraping the back corners of my memory and I couldn't call it up. And so Wikipedia told me it's a type of multi-spindle spinning machine that was a huge part of the industrial revolution for making textiles, because it allowed people to spin a bunch of different spindles at once. So anyway, but used here to as a metaphor for someone who is, you know, someone you know is bad for you, but you keep coming back to. And my favorite part of this song is the groove and the groovy feel, but that spaghetti Western guitar that just kind of, it fits into the song, but it's so unexpected.
Yeah, it feels, it has this very swinging 60s, like it could be in a spy movie.
Yeah.
And yet there's these other weird bits, like obviously his vocals are very much like, nope, those don't fit with it, and yet totally works. And then I love during that pre-chorus of "She's the one I want," there's this like super processed cowbell that feels, I just, in my notes, yeah, are just deranged cowbell, I call it, because it just has this great percussion, but it's, again, so unsettling on a song that's otherwise, you're in this groove and then you're like, dah, 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 dah. What is happening there? It's really cool. Yeah, I enjoy, you know, it's a, if there's a, you know, oftentimes of the record, I come into it and I'm like, oh, it's so cohesive. And I feel like this one is thematically a little hard to get my hand around. You know, I feel
your,
like a lot.
Your head
hand,
around.
My head, my hand, yeah, you know, one of those H.
Also hard to get your hands around music because it's just, you know, in the air. You can't even.
Yeah, my hands are good. Hands I can it. Usually get hands around. No, it's a little challenging to get, to figure out exactly what these songs are about. They just kind of happen. And there's so much different instrumental style. So it is not. It's the opposite of cohesive, but what it does mean is, holy moly, is this a re-listenable record? Because mm-hmm. every song, like, oh, this is something completely different. And so never getting bored. Holy moly.
Yeah, we were going to talk about a different album that I was not as enthusiastic about. And then when I heard this one, because I was going through, you know, all of the best of 2024 lists and listening to any records on them that I hadn't heard. And this was on there. And I listened to it and I was like, this is great. And it's something I'm going to enjoy listening to and that we'll have a lot to talk about because there's so much diversity of sound.
And it's so playful. Yeah. It does not take itself too seriously. And I think we continue in just this variety of style and general brightness on this next track we'll play. It's called No Rivers Around Here. Is about how hard it is to fit in to a neighborhood in Paris, which is where Daniel O'Kelly currently lives. But what I do know is that this song establishes such a fun groove that I don't really care what it's about. I love that kind of psych rock outro where you get a full minute of just these arpeggios and drone. It's just so propulsive and fun.
Yeah, it's just got such a driving beat that it's the one that I tap my toe to and like nod along to the most. And I think this might be my favorite song on the record. It's just really fun and it's repetitive, but it's so great to sing along
yeah.
to.
Yeah, and it does have, I mean, at least it's it might be repetitive, but it does have, I think, a little bit of evolution because I think in the early verses, yeah. he talks about like putting a song on the jukebox and nobody mm-hmm. knows the song. Mm-hmm. And then kind of the third way through, it's, hey, put the song on the jukebox and everyone knows the song. And so there is that, and that sense of like, oh, kind of getting to know the neighborhood and people accepting you. So it is very optimistic and it's in the end sweet.
So the next song we'll play is the penultimate track, and it's actually one that they wrote in their early demos but left off the last record and decided to include it here. It's called Songs About Divide.
Last night I spilled my pint on the back of your warm coat. No one else noticed because the string snapped. You ran out of road. Saw a different life and where she boarded the ferry. Would have been so poetic to say he eloped. Instead they sat down, he fucked off on a boat. Tried to target us with something, but now it doesn't matter. Management honked in agreement and watched me wolf down a platter. Songs, songs about divide. Songs about divide. Songs about divide. Songs about divide, songs about the vibe, songs about the vibe.
This song reminds me so much of a song by The National, and it's not just the lyrics and the way that Daniel's voice is on this song, but it's the female backing vocals that are just a beat behind, and the kind of calm, pretty instrumental.
Yeah,
but I really like the song.
Yeah, it's such a mellow opportunity to kind of relax. It's like, okay, we're doing the cool down at the end of this record. There have been so many different sounds, and here's yet another one. I mean, there's a couple of other different songs that would describe as mellow, some we didn't play, but I think none of them sound quite like this one, which is, you know, it's got a good kind of propulsion to it, but it's still very relaxed. And even the percussion, it's like, it's moving, but I'm pretty sure he's using those brushes because it feels just that kind of light cymbal texture that is so ethereal. And you get the great vocal harmonies. And it is one of my, you know, if I have a complaint, is that in letting Emma Hanlon just lead so many songs, I feel like there's fewer songs where you have this kind of prominent harmonics of both the man and the woman's voices together and creating this really pretty combination. I think there's not as much of that as maybe I might like, but again, that's a nitpick when the record's got so much to offer.
Yeah, there's a lot of Emma doing backing vocals in a way that is kind of, you know, giving little shouts and things like that, but not singing the way she is on this song.
Yeah, but it's, okay, if it were, if the entire album were like this, maybe it would be a little too precious, because this song is very pretty. Would I want an entire record of songs like this?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah, this sweet notion. And again, it's even like less obvious, but it, you know, from the lyrics, but it's, you know, about feeling like, oh, you're in this party and just what are people think of me? You know, I guess I'll just kind of leave. And yeah, it's about that loneliness and how it's hard to find human connection. And yeah, it's tough. I don't know this song, but this song is at least letting you know, hey, we all feel it, even people who are in this really good band.
Yeah, and what I like about this record is there's so much variety and it works on a lot of different levels. So you could put this on when your friends are coming over, and I think anyone that we're friends with would like it and ask what it was. But you can also just listen to it closely on headphones, and it's very... the musicianship is really great and the instrumentation is really interesting, and especially the drums. Like, you can spend a lot of time really listening to all the parts of each of these songs.
Yeah, I am really impressed. This is, I think, their third record. I think the first one was only four or five years ago. So they've been...
It was three records in 4 years.
Yeah, that's a hell of a run. And that... I mean, archive material, that second record, fantastic. And then this one, just so much richer, so much more variety. And even as the band isn't all in the same city, with at least one person, you know, leaving for a completely different country, it's still so tight. They still clearly, yeah, this is a band that is, yeah, yeah, they're the tightness and collaboration, and it feels like everything feels very precisely crafted and improvisational at the same time.
Yeah, so we're going to go out on the title track. It's Easy Being a Winner, which I actually think is probably the best song on this record. And we've been discussing the third album by that title from Silverbacks. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thank you so much for listening.
You feed a building, new generation, coming around town. You make a difference for all the people. It's not a time to cool off. You'll never come in second. I told you at a very young age. You read your books all night and you'll become king of the stage. You start to figure it out. Start to figure it out. It's easy being a winner. A young radical and a great change in the scene. Those angry moments, me giving out, I didn't want.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.FM podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.